Let's all stand in reverence and respect as we read from the Bible, James chapter 4 and verse number 14. We'll read this morning, James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. I want to talk to you on the subject this morning of this. If this was your last day, if this was your last day, Father, I thank you for this morning. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you guide and direct every word that is said. I ask that you help us to concentrate each one of us individually on what's being said, that we would open our hearts to you and to your word, that you would guide us and help us and strengthen us to live in such a way that if this was our last day on this earth, we'll have lived it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, guide and direct here this morning, please, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Life is so strange. Life is just so different than what you could ever express. What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. It seems so short, and at the same time, it seems so long. Days seem to fly by, and then some days seem to drag on forever. Some weeks go along, and man, that's the longest week I've ever lived. And then there's some weeks that go by so fast that it's like they never came. We have for years, and so long, we rejoice over things that we are looking forward to. And it seems like something that we rejoice for and long for comes, and then it's gone. And it seems like it went a whole lot faster than what we ever thought it would. Some years, it seems we blink and they're over. Other years take forever to get through. With each of these days, weeks, months, and years, there's more moments, I should say, moments of great joy and of deep disappointment. Because every day is different. And every year is different. Seems like every moment is different. I often think of life, not in the moments I live today, but in the moments I've lived in the past. When I think of my kids, I don't think of my kids as the adults that they are today. I don't rethink about them, and I don't remember. I remember these years, don't misunderstand me, but I don't remember them in their teenage years. I remember them, I don't think about them. The years I think about is when they were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When we'd run around the house and play games together. When they were just little tykes and everything they needed from their mommy and daddy. Well, we were all buddy pal Indian friends, as I used to call my kids when we were little. Those are the years that I think of. They came and they went. And they went quickly. At the time, I don't think I realized the value of the memories that I was forming for my wife and myself as we went through them. Because we lived those days and got through those days just like we live these days and go through these days. And sometimes we're glad just to get through. But when I think of my children, those are the days that I remember the fondest, if you will. Enjoy the most. When I think of my days with my parents, I don't think of my teenage years. I don't think of my adult years. I think of my childhood years. I think about how when we were little, how we'd go out and play in the backyard, and how Mama would call us in, and on Sundays we'd all have to get up, dressed up in our Sunday best, they called it. And we'd get up in our Sunday best, and Mama would polish every set of shoes every Saturday night. And she'd line them up outside the door of our bedrooms, and we'd get out and we'd put on our nice white shirt and we'd put on our little blue suits. And I had two older brothers and an older sister and a younger sister at the time, and all of us boys had blue suits with blue ties and white shirts. Some of us had blue shirts, white shirts with red ties sometimes we'd wear. And we'd go outside our bedroom door, and there would be the shoes that Mama had cleansed and polished and prepared, and we'd go put our shoes on. But we weren't allowed to run around the house because we had our Sunday best on. And you're not going to mess up those clothes. And we always had to sit like ladies and gentlemen. I remember we'd come home from church and on those Sunday afternoons, and my Mama had prepared a big meal. And we'd all sit around the dining room table. We didn't use the dining room table during the week. We used the kitchen table during the week. But we'd go into the dining room, and my Mama would put out the best china and the finest silverware. And it would always be a big deal. And my Daddy would take out this book of etiquette, and he'd teach us every Sunday about how to speak to people, how to greet people, how to sit at the table, how to behave, what fork to use. Because at first it was just one fork, and then all of a sudden there were two forks, and we had to learn what forks to use. And then there was two knives, and we had to learn which knife was for butter knife, and which knife was for cutting food up with. And we learned lots of different things as we sat at the table. And I remember those were the days when I was young. I remember those days when we'd come home, and every evening, my daddy, we would sit around the kitchen table, and my daddy would say, "So what did you?" He'd go around the table. "So what did you learn in school today? What did you learn in school today?" And I thought, "Oh man, he's coming to me next, and I don't know that I learned anything in school." And I'd say to myself, "Why does he want to know this?" And now, as an adult, or I should say, when I became a parent, I learned that my daddy was just trying to make his life part of my life, and my life part of his life. Life goes by quickly. Oftentimes we don't realize how fast those days go by. Now, as an adult, my children are grown, and they are living in the days that I remember the most with their little ones, their little boys, their little girl, their families. They're the ones that are getting their Sunday best ready for their kiddos. And it's an exciting time for them, and even though they're living it, they don't understand the value of it till that value passes by. Just like I didn't. But those are days of memories and enjoyment. Now my folks are gone. I can't hold them anymore. They can't hold me. I can't hear an I love you. They can't hear an I love you from me. Days are gone where my children don't no longer live with me. And though I remember going into their rooms every night when they were little and just looking at them as they laid in that bed. Sometimes we'd go in, and unfortunately they'd be doing this because of the spanking they got before they went to sleep. But I'd pray over them and ask God to bless them and help them and strengthen them, that they grow up to be good and fine young men and young ladies for Jesus Christ. Time goes by much quicker than what we realize. And when time has gone, you don't ever get it back. When I look back at life now, I can't believe how fast it's been. One thing about life I do understand, as I get older, is I cannot go back and relive any day or any month or any year or any portion of my life. The one thing about life is that I know is that as time goes by, it goes, and really, it's gone forever. But the results of what I did during that time carry on. As I live, I often don't take much time to live in the moment or realize the importance of the moment I'm living in. Because once we live in it, it's gone forever, and that importance is what we need to rectify and realize in our life today. The importance of living that 1 hour, that 1 half hour, that 1 5-minute period, realizing that we'll never get those minutes over again, we'll never get those moments over again, we'll never get that hour over again, we'll never get that afternoon over again, we'll never get to live that day over again. And those things that we did to mess up those days, and I've messed up a whole lot of days and minutes and hours, I can never correct, though I'd love to go back and relive and correct some of those days and minutes and hours. Because once they're gone forever. We do things and say things in those unprotected times when we're not realizing the value of the moment we're living in. And we do things sometimes and say things sometimes that come back and haunt us forever because we made a flippant remark. Or we made a backhanded comment. Or we made a bad momentary judgment. Or we acted foolishly. Or maybe we reacted foolishly. Or we made a wrong statement. Or behaved in an improper manner. We cannot go back and relive it. Periodically, there may be someone who thinks we can not live peaceably because of what we did or what we said in those days. Periodically in our lives, there may be someone we think we'll never be able to live peaceably with again because of something we did or something they did during those unprotected moments and unprotected hours. And there is a breach in our fellowship. But Romans chapter 12 and verse number 8 tells us, we're going to read it in just a moment, but it tells us we're simply are challenged by God to live peaceably. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. If it be possible. Now, I love the fact that God puts it in real terms. If it be possible. Because some things just aren't possible. Because people won't allow us to live peaceably with them. But if it be possible, as much that lieth in you. So God puts the onus on you and I to do everything we can to live peaceably with somebody else. Live peaceably with all men. So let me read that again without my editorial. If it be possible, as much that liveth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 8. We are not simply challenged to live peaceably with all men. We are challenged to live peaceably with all men to the extent that we're given. And the extent that we're given is twofold. One, the extent that they give us, and two, the extent that we give us. If possible, as much that lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Jonathan Edwards, one of the great preachers of the Great Awakening, once said these words, I resolve neither to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were my last hour of my life. That was his mantra as he went through life. He wanted to live his life thinking and knowing that if this were my last hour of life, is this how I want to be for my last hour of life? Is this what I remember, want to be remembered of me during my last hour of life? Is this how I want to depart this earth knowing it is my last hour of my life? I have thought about that statement these many, many times. As I grow in my 50s and head quickly towards my 60s. I think about this more often. And here's what I find. I fail more than I succeed. I fail more than I succeed. Because I fail when I don't realize the value of the moment in which I'm living. I fail when I forget in my mind that this may be my last day on this earth. I fail when I forget that I am going to stand before God very shortly here. And though it may seem like it may be a long time off, I know it's going to come much quicker than I anticipate. And I know I don't know the day or the hour. So I unprotect myself when I forget that time's short. What is life? It is but a vapor. That's what our reading says. Let me read it again. Verse 14 of James chapter 4. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. So I don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. We really don't know how the day today will end. For what is your life? It's a question he's asking you and me. What is your life? Here's his answer, God's answer. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanish away. You ever put in a hot tub, put the hot water in that hot tub and get ready to go into that hot tub to sit and soak for a little while in that hot tub, and you look at that hot tub and you can see those vapors coming off and they're just there for a moment. And then they're gone. And they really don't leave any trace. And that's what God says our life is like. You ever been cooking a hot meal and cut that boiling water on the stove and you take off the lid and all this vapor comes out for a moment? It's there. It's real. And then it's gone. And it's over. And you know how much thought we give that vapor? None. And unfortunately, that's how oftentimes we live our life. We don't realize it's a vapor and we don't give it any thought. We forget how short it really is and how short it has become. So, living in the last days, or with the idea that this may be your last day, my last day, can change the way we live. When we stop and think about how short our life really is, let me give you some illustrations of people that I know. I know a man who just passed away recently. He was in his 90s when he passed away. A really nice gentleman. I liked him very much. And he used to say to me, "Doug, I'm thinking about my dad today." I'd say, "What are you thinking about?" And he'd say, "I'm thinking about his last day." So I remember how he came down to where I was at. I had spent all sorts of money to move him where he was at, to make him comfortable in his home. He didn't have to work anymore. He didn't have to do anything anymore. But I couldn't keep him settled. He was always wanting to do something. And he got in his car and he drove over to where I was at. And he wanted to do some things there. And I said, "Dad, get in the car and go home." I was a little irritated with him. He said, in fact, I was really irritated with him. "Why can't he just let me take care of him?" That's what my thoughts were. I thought all about me and I didn't think anything about him. And he got in his car and I could see the puzzled look on his face of his desire just to want to do something. He said, "That's the last look I saw." Got in his car, was driving down the expressway. A truck hit him. And I got the call from the police a few hours later. Life's short. And we don't realize in the moment how important that moment really is. There's a family of a pastor. They were on a little trip. They're driving down the road, and this is in the 1980s. They're driving down an expressway and there's nobody on the road. They're going one direction and they're in the right lane, and over on the right lane on the other side, the 4-lane highway, there's a truck coming down the road. And for some reason, we don't know, this truck came across the highway, came across the median, came across their side of the highway and smacked right into the van of the church, or the pastor's van, and killed his wife. And all of his children but one. I believe they had 5 children. And he and his daughter, who was thrown from the vehicle, were the only one to survive. We've talked to the pastor many times since then, out in California. And he remembers the song that was playing. He remembers the conversation he was having. Had another friend that was driving, got up early one Saturday morning. Another pastor, I'm sorry, during a school day. And the pastor was supposed to take the kids to school and he didn't. His wife said, "I'll take them." And she left the dishes on the table and the milk out and the things out. And they took off for school. And the pastor who was running late said, "I'll get in the car and I'll drive up there and I'll meet you at the school." So they got in the church van and they went out and picked up one or two other kids. They got into the church van and they took off for the school. And they get in an accident. And everybody in the church van died. The pastor was driving down the road to go the same way. Came across the traffic jam. Decided he should get out, maybe help somebody. As he walked up there, he recognized his van. Saw the bodies all laid out across the road. Mama didn't intend that to be the last day. She intended to come home and clean everything up and put the milk away and put the dishes away and put the things away. But may I say, life is short. I may not have these stories exactly 100% correct, but they are correct in the way that these incidents did happen. And they never anticipated it to be their very last day or last hour on this earth. How many times have we gone through the day with the anticipation that we got a long time to live? How many times have you gotten the news that someone passed away overnight or somebody had a heart attack suddenly? I think about my cousin, Michael. He was out with his nephews and nieces one day and got done doing with one of his nephews what he was doing, got in his car, drove down the road and had a massive heart attack, pulled over to the side of the road and passed away. He was very young. My cousin was at the time. Recently, my brother got into an airplane. Mm-hmm. Intended to fly to go get the airplane worked on. They never made it back. Alive. Died in the airplane accident. All I'm saying is that we don't know what every day brings. Because we don't know what every day brings, our life is but a vapor. It's there for a moment and then vanisheth away. If this was your last day on earth, and you suddenly knew it was your last day on earth, what would you change in your life? I have thought many years, this statement, Lord, if I died of a heart attack tomorrow, what would you say when I have to face you? When I live according to that thought, I live well. But when I forget about that thought, I don't live so well. Our lives ought to be lived in such a way that if we were to die tomorrow, it could be said that we lived our lives in sweet fellowship with our Lord. And that we lived our lives with sweet fellowship with our family, and with our co-workers, and with our friends, with all men, up to the very last day in which we lived. Because that's God's will for you and I. That's God's Word. He tells us in Romans, again, chapter 12, verse 8, if it be possible, as much that lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So His desire is for you and I to live with no regrets. If you were told that this was your last day, what would you do? What relationships would you seek to restore? Who would you need to apologize to? Is there anything you would rush to change? Then let me give you some things. Number one, then do that today. Do that today. Start working today to do whatever you would change. If you knew that today was your last day on earth, who would you apologize to? We ought to make out a list and start apologizing to those people. Who would you need to forgive? We need to start going through our list and forgiving those. Not that they're holding something over on us. When we forgive, that's for us. It's not for them. That relieves us so that we could love them like we ought to love them. Is there something you would rush to change in your life? Then change it today. Start today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't put it off till next week, because we'll forget the importance of the moment we're living in. So start to make today the most important day of your life. Number two, make that adjustment. What is it that you would change? Well, whatever that is, make that adjustment. What do you need to change in your life, the way you live? Maybe it's a temper. Then change your temperament. Maybe it's the way you talk to people. Then change the way you talk to people. Make that effort. Start to work hard on it. If you don't change on purpose, you're not going to change. If I don't change on purpose, I'm not going to change. I could wish all day long things would change, but unless I take the effort to make that change, I'm not going to change. Let me read Romans chapter 12, verse 8 again to you. If it be possible, okay, with some people, no matter what you do, nothing's going to be possible. All you can do is love them and care for them the best way you know how. As much that lieth within you, now that's our responsibility. So now I can change that part. Everything that lieth within me, I can change the way I talk to people. I can change my temperament. How about this? I can change my reaction. Instead of reacting to something, I can just sit and be a moment of silence to know what action I really need to take. Because most of us live off a reaction rather than an action. So I need to make that adjustment then. I need to make that change. If there's something that you could change in your life so that you can live every day as if it was your last day and knowing you'd stand before the Lord and you wouldn't have been ashamed for the last words that came out of your mouth before you met the Lord. Then change that. Maybe it's the blame game. Maybe we blame everybody else for everything else that happens in our life. Well, if it wasn't for this happening, or if it wasn't for that person, or if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that, may I say it's that which lieth within you. It's not that which lieth with other people. Forget it. Move on. But change in you. So that means I got to quit blaming others for everything that happens in my life. It's nobody else's fault. My fault. Yeah, but they trapped me. Nobody else's fault. It's my fault. But they did. It's nobody else's fault. It's my fault. But they haven't spoken to me. It's nobody else's fault. It's my fault. Because I have to learn to live my life in such a way that if this is my last day, I want it to be the best day I've ever had. And I want it to be the best day that anybody else that was around me ever had. Because I don't know. All of us are a ticking time bomb when it comes to death. We could go just like that. So what would you change? Make that adjustment. Make that adjustment. So maybe we should change our temper. Maybe we should change our speech. Maybe we should change our reaction. Sometimes we need to change the actions we take. Because we keep repeating the same thing over and over again. Maybe we need to quit playing the blame game. Maybe we got to quit the snide remarks and the hateful attitude. Maybe I need the attitude. Maybe we always blame everybody else for, well, they have a bad attitude. Well, maybe it's my attitude that's really bad. Maybe they're just reflecting my same bad attitude back at me. Maybe it was my reaction with a bad attitude that caused their attitude to get worse. So then what is that I need to change in my life? We need to quit looking outside of it ourselves. Let me read that verse to you again. Romans 8, or 12, 8. 18. Oh, Romans 12, 18. Been had it wrong the whole time. All right, thank you. Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much that lieth in you. That's the key word there, in me. So why do I look at everybody else and blame everybody else for the way my life is and how I am? When I need to look at me and hold myself accountable more than I hold anyone else in this world accountable. Live peaceably with all men. Number three. I said number one, start today. Number two, make whatever adjustment you have to make, make it. What would you change? Number three, fix the broken relationships. Fix the broken relationships. Fix the broken relationships and adjust what you are trying to do so you'll not be ashamed to stand before the Savior one day. Adjust it. Fix it. Fix the broken relationships. Well, some people won't let you fix it. Well, that's the part that's not possible then. But that doesn't mean you can't fix you and your attitude towards that. And you don't know that what you fix in you can't fix it later on. If the Lord gives you more time than just today. You know, our thought life is our biggest enemy. We'll have wars up here that never really transpire. We'll say things up here that never was really said. And we'll make accusations about people in our minds that we never have made with our mouths. You know who the problem is then? Us. We are. So then that relationship may be repairable. We don't think it is because we haven't made the adjustments. We haven't made the attempts to fix it. Fix it. Number four. My favorite one. You can't do this alone. You can't do it alone. I can't do this by myself. I have tried all my life to do the right thing and I constantly blow it. Anybody else live in my same boat? That boat that says, I'm going to do right and then I mess up. And now, okay, I'm going to do right and now I mess up. And oh, I'm going to change this and oh, I go back to the same old, same old. And I say, well, I guess it's just the way it's going to have to be. Well, I didn't try something. I didn't try the Lord. Because He's the one that gives me the power. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I need the Lord to help me. I need His power. I need His strength. I need His mind. I need my mind changed. So that my mind won't have that war anymore. My mind won't make those accusations anymore. And my mind won't attack people in itself anymore. My mind won't have the bad temper. My mind won't have the bad speech. And my mind won't have the bad reaction. And my mind won't play the blame game. And all the other things that are out there for it to play. But how do I do that? Read my Bible every day. I need the Lord. I can't do it on my own. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Now that's just not the only answer. You can read the Bible all the time and never apply it. Number two, I'm going to read my Bible and then I'm going to follow it. I'm going to follow what my Bible is telling me to do, regardless of how other people respond to it. I'm going to follow what my Bible tells me to do, regardless of how other people respond to what I'm doing. Listen, I realize I got an issue now. It's not going to change overnight. But I am going to work on it. It's going to take a lot of hard work and effort and on my part for me to do the right thing. But hey, it's going to be worthwhile because one day I, who have to do the right thing, am going to meet the Lord who's asking me to do the right thing. How about this? Pray. When it comes time in, pray. When the situation comes up, pray. When hostility comes up in you, pray. When all of a sudden you forget the value of the moment you're living in, that this could be your last day, pray. How about this? Give. Live for others. Give. The more I do for others, the more I forget about myself. The more I see the needs of others, the less I think about my own personal needs. And the less selfish I become. Can I tell you, most of our lives are lived out of total and complete selfishness. Instead of being selfless. When I start to give, whether it be financially through the church, or give to missions, or give to those who are in need around me. When I give of myself in work and labor. When I give of myself to win others to Christ. When I give of myself to help my friend or my neighbor who's in need. When I give myself to be a friend to my friend and a friend to my enemies. Those are all hard things. Easy to say, hard things to live by. Then it starts to change me. I need the Lord. And that's how the Lord changes me. That's the way the Lord changes you. I still remember the last night I spent with my dad. The very last night of my dad's life, I got to be with him. I remember our fellowship. I remember our conversation. I remember reliving his life together through his memories. It was a very sweet time. Though he did not realize, he knew his time was short and did not know this was his last 24 hours. It was his last 24 hours. I still to this day remember his last sentence. I remember when he simply closed his eyes and was gone into eternity. Our text today reminds us we don't know what happens to us tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor. These things we've talked about, we don't have a lot of time to fix. So we need to start it right away. Because life comes and it goes so quick. My prayer is that we'll each live each day of each hour, in each hour of each day, in such a way that we're prepared to stand before our Lord. If at all possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. That gives us a life of no regrets. because we did everything in our power to do the right thing. If it doesn't work on their part, I am no longer responsible for God, to God, for that. Because they not made it possible. But I don't want to be the stumbling block that causes me to have a life of regrets. And I found out that I'm the biggest stumbling block I have. If this was your last day on earth, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If this was your last day on earth and you know for sure you go to heaven then, this was your last day on earth, do you know for sure that the Lord would be pleased with you in the way that you've lived and the things that you've done? That's the key to life. If this were your last day, Father, I thank you.